We now return you to your regularly scheduled program, already in progress. We interrupt this program to bring you the following special presentation from Austin's sports leader, the Austin Radio Network.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260, as we bring you live breaking news coverage of an incredibly eventful day, a historic day in the history of Texas athletics and the Texas football program. And we're going to go live over the next couple of hours to discuss the fallout, the ramifications, the decision that has made Steve Sarkisian the 31st head coach in UT football history as of this afternoon. I'm Aaron Hogan. We'll be joined shortly live in studio by Rod Babers, also guests throughout the evening here, or afternoon slash evening, and guests will include Jeff Howe of Horns 24/7, also Chip Brown, who broke the news this morning that Tom Herman was let go and would be let go, and Steve Sarkisian, would be the new head coach at Texas. He broke that story about 10:30 this morning. We will talk with Chip, we'll talk with other members of the Horn team, and we'll talk with you on the phone line at 447-3776, also on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Just before 5 o'clock, congratulations to the Hayes football team. They win the football game over Vandegrift. Also, congratulations to Texas basketball for an incredible performance, 11 o'clock this morning into about 1:30 or 2 o'clock. They dominate the third-ranked team in the country. Beat the Kansas Jayhawks in one of the more impressive performances of the Shaka Smart tenure at Texas. We can talk a little bit about that, but obviously there is one top story, and that's why we're here for you and be live and local as we like to be. University of Texas has named Steve Sarkisian, who had been the offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide, their head football coach today. He replaces Tom Herman, who was dismissed this morning. Word came down after, of course, the impressive Alamo Bowl victory for Texas last Tuesday night, where they dominated the Colorado Buffaloes to finish at 7-3. But this morning, word came that athletic director Chris Del Conte had informed Jay Hartzell, the school president, and the Board of Regents director Kevin Eltife, that he recommended that change of leadership was needed and demanded at the football program at the University of Texas a change in course, a change in direction, which led to the hiring this afternoon, a quick turnaround of Chris Del Conte of Steve Sarkisian as the new head coach of Texas. We will certainly talk about the decision to move on from Tom Herman after four seasons, the decision on Steve Sarkisian and its pending fallout for the University of Texas football program. We'll do that between now and whenever we need to. You're on the Horn, live and local, and we appreciate you being there. You can tune in, send the link out to hornfm.com, 1049 on the FM dial, 1019 on the FM dial, and certainly on AM 1260. We'll certainly as well keep it rolling on all of our digital platforms with all the very, very latest. So just after 5 o'clock, the breaking news. And I should say here there is a Zoom conference beginning right now, 5 o'clock, that we are unable to carry. We're not have permission from the university to carry, but a Zoom news conference that is happening for available media that our friend Jeff Howe will be on from Light the Tower and Horns 24/7, and Chip Brown and many, many others in the Austin media are on this Zoom conference beginning right this moment to introduce Steve Sarkisian as the newest head coach and the new head coach at the University of Texas at 3:30 today. And this afternoon, there was a Zoom conference between Steve Sarkisian and the current players at the University of Texas to introduce the players to their new leader and new head football coach. That happened this afternoon. So this is all happening very, very quickly. It surprised a lot of people on January the 2nd. But if you connect the dots and revisit the history and the conversation of this entire change at the University of Texas, it is fair to say that it shouldn't be a huge surprise. But at the same time, based on Chris Del Conte's short two-paragraph statement released back in December, that something could be coming. Well, it kind of dismissed a lot of things for people that nothing was going to happen, that Tom Herman was going to be the head football coach at Texas in 2021. But if you go that statement now and read it, it was very vague. It was pretty flimsy as far as the current situation, and it left it open to the idea that something could be revisited early in 2021 with Chris Del Conte, and obviously that has happened, as we said. If you're just joining us, I'm Aaron Hogan. Rod Babers will join us here momentarily, and guests throughout the next couple of hours as we bring you live and breaking coverage of the decision by Texas to move on from Tom Herman after four seasons, and a 4-0 bowl record, but about a 60%, 62% winning percentage at Texas, and hire Steve Sarkisian. So a lot to unpack, a lot to discuss, a lot of live coverage is happening. I am here live with you, and Rod Babers is on our Horn headquarters, Horn Studios.
That's right.
Snoop Daniels at Mission Control. Snoop, how are you, man? Happy New Year. Good afternoon, my friend.
Oh, yeah. What's up, bro?
What's up, man? Hey, Rod, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. It was supposed to be kind of a slow weekend. We were going to lull our way into 2021, but that is not the case. 2021 starting with a bang, literally and figuratively. I guess Texas might be a basketball school. We woke up overnight, and that's the case, too, after putting the old biblical-style butt-whipping, Old Testament-style butt-whipping on Kansas, at Kansas, which is something that you just don't see. And, of course, now, who would have thought that Shaka Smart would outlast Charlie Strong and Tom Herman. Man, these are strange times.
Strange times. And I certainly want your opinion on it, Rob. We want our people, our listeners' opinion on it. Specs text line. And we'll even open up the phone lines as we move forward. We'll have guests and live conversation. As I mentioned, the Zoom conference has begun. The media availability to introduce Steve Sarkisian as the new head football coach at Texas to the assembled Texas media. We'll have Jeff Howe immediately after that Zoom conference wraps up to report on what was said and what went down in the conversations. There'll certainly be a million conversations about the hiring and the decision of Steve Sarkisian as the next person to lead Texas football. But let's start with your surprise, Rod. I mean, I will be totally candid. I've been battling the coronavirus and spent 2 weeks kind of in quarantine. And then this morning, actually, I told my wife last night, hey, let's do something tomorrow. Let's get away. Let's go do something. I've been kind of shut out. And so I was planning on a relaxing Saturday and went and hit some golf balls this morning, got a little workout in, and then, okay, we're good. And then the phone blows up, and then here we are at 5 o'clock this afternoon. I'm sure most people are in that same boat. I got to give credit to our buddy Snoop Daniel, who was at a high school football game a little bit ago, and he raced back to anchor our coverage from our producer's studio because all of our producers are out of town and out of pocket today. It was just one of those days. So UT drops the news 10 o'clock this morning or 10:30-ish, the meeting between Christo. I'm assuming, Rod, this was a planned meeting between Jay Hartzell, the president at the University of Texas, just installed this summer, Kevin Altife, the head of the Board of Regents, and Christo Conti. I'm assuming that conversation, this meeting was planned. And according to the president and the Board of Regents director, at that meeting, Christo Conti informed the bosses that he believes a change of direction and a change of leadership was needed in the football program at the University of Texas, which led to the decision to dismiss Tom Herman after four seasons. And pretty quick, in pretty short order, Steve Sarkisian has been established as the new head football coach at Texas. If you know the history of Christo Conti, whether it's at TCU or Rice or here, he typically doesn't move and make a move like this without having the person in place ready to go. And that has obviously been the case. But let me start with this for you. How surprised were you upon hearing the news this morning that Tom Herman was dismissed as the head coach at Texas?
You can't be too surprised, right? We talked about this. We've been talking about it for months now with the flirtation of Urban Meyer, or what should I say, with Urban Meyer. And that didn't work out reportedly. I think Chip Brown was the one to break that Urban Meyer decided to decline the offer from Texas. And you know, I had heard from numerous sources and that, you know, they did try to, that was somewhat of an inquiry, if you will, into Kyle Shanahan. And Kyle Shanahan is one of my closest friends. He don't want to coach in college because he doesn't want to recruit. It's just that simple. And he wants to win Super Bowl. So this is my question, E. How far down the list of candidates did you get before you got to Steve Sarkisian? Because there are reports that Matt Campbell said, nah, I'm good. There are reports that Dan Mullen was like, no, I'm not. I think Kirk Bowles was the one to report that. Like, no, I'm fine where I am. Mario Cristobal, Chip Brown reported, was actually one of the top candidates if Urban Meyer said no. And, of course, you have Mario Cristobal getting an extension. That's basically another way of declining an offer from a school. So my question is, how far down the list did you get before you got to Steve Sarkisian? That's what I want to know. That's what I'm reaching out to my people behind the burnt orange curtain trying to figure out. Because this is, have you ever seen the movie Arlo? Great movie, won Best Picture. You ever seen that movie, Snoop? Great picture. You got to watch it. Ben Affleck actually, I believe, directed it and wrote it. And it's one of the best movies you've ever seen. And there's a great line in the movie Arlo where when they're trying to convince the higher-ups in the suits about the crazy plan they come up with to rescue the hostages. And Bryan Cranston actually is the one that delivered the line, and he's talking to Ben Affleck after Ben Affleck explains the idea to him. He goes, Is this the best bad idea that we have? And then Bryan Cranston says, yeah, man, this is the best bad idea we have by far. I'm thinking this is the best bad idea that Chris Del Conte could come up with. Because there were no more good ideas. The good ideas were off the table. The good ideas were Urban Meyer, Kyle Shanahan. Can you get a Dabo Sweeney? Can you get a Brian Kelly? Can you get, you know, God, these guys who pretty much have done a lot more things to gain credibility and accolades at the college level or even at the NFL level? Could you get any of those guys? And I don't think Texas could, which actually is a bigger problem that we also need to address. Because if that question is, you're not as hot as you think you are right now, Texas. Because, hell, think about the Charlie Strong hiring. They were turned down by four or five different coaches before they ended up deciding, all right, Charlie Strong is going to be our guy. So if Texas is not as sexy as they think anymore, then I think they got to the point, E, where they got down the list, and this is not a good idea, because I don't necessarily think it's a great idea. I mean, I don't know anything about Steve Sarkisian. I'm starting to get to know him. But there's no guarantee that this is an upgrade. That's the whole point. You wanted a guaranteed upgrade with a Shanahan or an Urban Meyer or a Brian Kelly, you know, Dabo Sweeney. Those are guaranteed upgrades. This is not a guaranteed upgrade. This is the boosters needed somebody else because they were tired of Tom Herman, because Tom Herman was a bit of an a-hole and didn't get the D-bag tax, if you will, not the nice guy discount, because people don't like him. He didn't gain any followers and didn't gain any advocates with the boosters and the donors, not with the fans, with the eyes of Texas. The lost guys in the locker room, we all know that too, and the media really didn't like Tom Herman. So basically in the end is Tom Herman was so disliked that unlike Shaka, who got an extra year, he couldn't get the extra year because nobody was willing to give it to him. Because he had to pay the a-hole tax because people just don't like Tom Herman.
Well, look, I mean, that's a fair point. And Rod Babers in our Horn Studios. I'm Aaron Hogan. It's live coverage of the hiring of Steve Sarkisian. And as you know, Rod, this is a lot of onion to peel, right? There's a lot to peel back on the decision to move on from Tom Herman. I mean, that's got to be the first conversation. And then, gosh, did they get the right guy? I mean, these are multifaceted conversations. And I will say, appreciate you jumping in and being live. I know I was on the air when the decision to move on from Tom Herman or from Mack Brown was made. And Charlie, you know, from the Friday night when Mack Brown was going to stay, and then by Saturday, Mack Brown was gone, and then who was going to be next, and then the hiring of Charlie Strong, that entire situation, and then from that to the Friday after Thanksgiving when, you know, we all knew Charlie Strong was going to be let go and Tom Herman was hired. I mean, these are historic discussions, right? These are historic situations and decisions. To your question and to your point as a lifetime Longhorn and someone who bleeds burnt orange and played for this university and played four seasons, and the answer on Steve Sarkisian is I don't know. I mean, we can get into how far down the list he is and was. I think he's a high-volume stock. I think there's a chance that this is a good move, but I do think you're right on as far as your commentary on how far the brand has fallen to where I do think there were people at the highest levels of Texas football. And when we say that, we shouldn't be vague, right? Chris Del Conte is the director of athletics, but above him would be the school president, Jay Hartzell. Above him would be the Board of Regents director, Kevin L. Tyfe, and then the people on the Board of Regents, and we know the money that goes on at the University of Texas, the people that are influential in that realm. They, after the Eyes of Texas situation and the loss to Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl, there were a lot of bridges burned there, Rod, you know
yep,
that.
No doubt.
And for most of those higher-ups, it was over. I mean, Tom Herman, he was given a chance last year to change out the coaching staff, seven new coaches, you know, and much like Tom Herman got to twist here in December into January, his seven coaches who got to twist last December through the Alamo Bowl into January got to twist this year. So Tom Herman got a little karma there on how that played out for him. And maybe he knew, I don't know. This all began in October, and you just said it, right? When the beginning for the push on Urban Meyer began, that here we are moving on, like we being the higher-ups at the University of Texas above Chris Del Conte, wanted change. We're done with this guy. We've sold our stock. We're out. When that began and the push for Urban Meyer, the writing was certainly on the proverbial wall that we would be at this day. What the timing of that would be anybody's guess, but here we are. Let me just ask you this, and I want to get into the Steve Sarkisian thing. I want to get into the right hire, how far down the list, where is this thing slid to? But were you surprised that Herman was let go today based on the performance in the Cotton Bowl, or excuse me, the Alamo Bowl, I should say, based on the final game at Kansas State? Any surprise at all that this came down this morning on the 2nd of January?
No, not at all. There's no question about it. Yeah, exactly. We talked about this, E, and we've talked about it for months now, and anybody who listens to The Horn, they've heard it on all the shows, and all the shows have done an excellent job of covering it. And we have so many great entities that cover Texas football, there's no way that somebody wouldn't hit one of those angles between Horns 247 and Inside Texas. Your man Bobby Burton over there now doing a great job as well. And, you know, and Orange Plus, you got so many organizations that are covering, and of course all the local news stations as well. So this is my point, though, and I think I'm not surprised by it, but what, and I think you and I were on the same page here. We thought Texas, once CDC delivered the line, you know, that Tom Herman would be coming back as a Texas head coach. Now, technically, when he said he was coming back for 2021, I mean, there has been it is 2021. So he did come back, technically, just for a day. They decided to move on. So I guess CDC could say that he wasn't lying about that. But CDC kind of became a politician in this whole thing. And the truth is, you know, if Tom Herman had to go because Tom Herman has been an above average coach here at Texas, and you need a great coach here at Texas. But if you couldn't find a great coach, I thought you and I heard you on B&E say the same thing. We thought they'd wait a year and really try to get it right. All right, you know what? If we're gonna be caught in this situation where we could potentially keep Tom Herman even after flirting with Urban Meyer, we thought, all right, you maybe keep Tom Herman around for a year, and then yeah, maybe the recruiting tanks, but make sure you get the hire right, because if Steve Sarkisian's the wrong guy, E, you're basically on the way to becoming Nebraska or Tennessee.
Or Tennessee.
Right? If he's the right guy, then you're great. But if he's the wrong guy, E, think about how many decades you're going to set the program back.
Yeah, you're on a treadmill. You're on a treadmill to nowhere, right? You're walking and running or whatever your pace is on the treadmill, but you're not going anywhere. And that's the goal, right? I mean, I say this all the time, Rod, and I know you listen. I listen to you guys every day, and people talk about the cesspool of Texas and that the demands are too high, and I will vehemently disagree with it. I've covered it for 25 years. You played there and have covered it since then. I just think the demand is they want a level coach. They want a coach who is one of the best coaches in college football, period. And I know people will say, well, how many have they had? Not many. Darryl Royal, Mac Brown. Beyond that, they haven't had a lot of A-level coaches. But I always will say I don't think it's wrong to expect that or demand that. And I also don't think it's wrong to stop looking for that A-level elite coach. Because college football, the parity has diminished more than it's ever been. It's hard to find those coaches. So I give Texas credit. But I also would say this, Rod, to your question about the decision. It's almost like, you know, when you're in a relationship, whether you're married or not, you know, the minute you say, honey, I want a divorce, it's really hard to come back from that, right? The minute you say those words, the minute the words come out, the minute you commit to I want out, it's almost impossible to double back. And I think we all can relate to that in relationships, whatever level they've been on for you. So I think in October, when they started to go after Urban Meyer, I think everybody knew the score. I think everybody understood. I'm out. We are out on this. We're not repairing this. We're not going to counseling. We're not fixing it. We're out on that deal. And so did Texas box themselves in? These are the things like when we talk about the hiring and firing of coaches, Rod, they take years to really uncoil and reveal themselves. But the play out from October to now was the highest levels of Texas football bailed on Tom Herman, and there was no fixing that.
Nope.
So is Steve Sarkisian the answer? Is he the elixir? Is he the fix-it guy? I don't know. I mean, the answer I would give to our audience and to everybody tuning in across the Horn Nation and on HornFM.com is I don't know, and I think you don't know. Was Urban Meyer the perfect solution? Probably, right?
Yes.
He's as good as you can get. He's an A-level. Your guy Kyle Shanahan. Shanna, yep. Would he have been an unbelievable hire? Yes. You know, and then beyond that, you get to the Brian Kellys, whose name percolated, and people wanted to go after Dabo Swinney, why would he leave Clemson? At the end of the day, here's what I'll say about Steve Sarkisian to put that on the table. when he was at USC as the quarterback's coach when Texas lost to US or beat Texas beat USC in the Rose Bowl, he was the young coach, right? He was the next Lincoln Riley. He was going to be the biggest thing ever. He was the guy, right? Recruited like crazy. He was Pete Carroll's heir apparent at USC, if you remember. And then in 2009, he moved on to take the Washington job, and with the idea that he was going to come back and be the USC head coach forever and a day, and you know, hail to the Trojans and all of that. Obviously, alcohol became a huge problem for him, and he had an alcohol battle that he lost. And, you know, he did well enough at Washington. People will point out his win-loss record, but that program was pretty bad when he got there. He built it up, did enough, and he came back to take over the USC program as the heir apparent to Pete Carroll and what went on in the 2000s at USC with Pete. And, you know, his own alcoholism really derailed Steve Sarkisian. I mean, there was no doubt. But if you go back to, and you've been around long enough, Rod, you played when he was coaching and as an assistant. He was a rising star in the ranks. I mean, he was a well-thought-of coach who the sky was the limit for him. And he derailed his own career with personal choices and a personal battle. You know, is he through that? I think it's fair to argue that the USC situation humbled him. He got fired. He had a much publicized, much written about battles that showing up drunk at events and alcohol problems that cost him the job. He got fired in 2015. He didn't even last 2 years at USC, and he was out. The argument for Steve Sarkisian is that since that moment, he got clean. He stopped drinking. He went on to the Atlanta Falcons, where he replaced your guy Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator. He then went to Alabama, and he's, you know, been an analyst and then offensive coordinator the last couple of years and led one of the most dynamic offenses in the country. And that what Texas is buying here, Rod, is a valuing stock that is, okay, he had personal issues, wasn't about football. He had to grow up. He had to mature. He had to figure out his way in life. But here he is now available. And, you know, is a guy that we couldn't get Urban Meyer or Nick Saban or Dabo Swinney or these coaches, but we can get this guy who could be that guy if indeed his life and his personal issues are put aside and he can move forward as just a football coach and run a program like it was supposed to happen 10 years ago at USC. I mean, that would be my only argument for Steve Sarkisian. Other than that, it's a high-risk decision. It's a risky buy. And is it more of the same? I don't have a great answer for that.
Can I ask you a question? And I don't know how deep this is. Did he go to rehab, or does he consider himself an alcoholic like Bucky? Like, yeah. Does he say, like, I'm an alcoholic and I don't drink
anymore? See, I don't
anymore?
Know enough about that.
I'm totally sober.
Know.
Or is he one of those guys that say, oh, I can have a drink every now and then? Because remember, when all that went down, his excuse was, I took some pills and then I mixed that with alcohol, and that's why I was going crazy at USC. And then we found out later, USA Today drops a story about, oh, no, he was at Washington also engaging in very, very risque behavior. So I don't know. I don't know at all. And I don't want to be insensitive to it at all, of course. I mean, if he's dealing with that struggle, that's something you have to know. But also, this is one of the most high-pressure jobs in the country.
Yeah,
so,
no, I mean,
you know what I mean? I guess it's a high-pressure job.
Yeah, I mean, Rod, you can, if you're in the bubble of Alabama and the offensive coordinator and under Nick Saban, you can mask those things, right? Those things can be, you know, covered up. At the University of Texas, you know this, Tom Herman couldn't cover up a lot of his own personal issues at the University of Texas. It will be revealed. I mean, it will come to the front. But to your question, I think it's a valid question. It's why I can't wait to talk to Jeff Howe as soon as he's available from the Zoom conference, because that Zoom conference is happening right now, where Steve Sarkisian is being grilled and asked questions by the assembled media. I've also been told, just for the full information, that on January the 13th, there will be a full introductory news conference of Steve Sarkisian as the new head coach of the University of Texas, which we'll, of course, carry here live on the Horn. That will happen. It can't happen until then because he's coaching for Alabama in the national championship game against Ohio State in 11 days or 10 days from yesterday. So he's going to stay on as the offensive coordinator, coach Mac Jones and Devontae Smith and Najee Harris in the national championship game, and then he will fully take over as the head coach of the University of Texas. Offer was made this morning, and I've actually been told, Rod, that the offer was made last night after Alabama beat Notre Dame 31-14 in the semifinal game, that there was a crew of, including Chris Del Conte, of Texas personnel in Arlington last night to offer Steve Sarkisian the job either last night or first thing this morning. So that's how this thing played out. Again, Rod, your question about is this the right decision is a hugely fair question. I don't know. I don't. Has he ever declared himself an alcoholic? I don't have that answer.
Well, yeah, and I don't, I'm not saying that's our business, but I'm just saying.
But I think it is. I think it's a huge.
Yeah, it's a story. It's part of it, of course. Yeah.
It can't be asked. I mean, it can't not be asked, and it can't. I mean, it can't be something that Steve Sarkisian says, "No, I don't want to talk about that. I don't believe that's not something that's allowed." Right? He's being handed the keys to the. To the program at the University of Texas. He's been given a second chance to become the coach that people thought he was going to be, is how I would, like, if you're taking out, making it into a fictional movie, which I know you love, Rod, I mean, that's where we're at, right? He's been given a second chance to run a blue blood program. He was given the keys to that car in Southern California at USC as a young coach, as a young man, and did not live up to it and flamed out in a really ugly way. And Pat Hayden, the athletic director at the time, had to fire him and had to, move on. Has he done it? To Bucky's point, I do a show with Bucky every single morning.
Exactly.
He's a recovering alcoholic for 20 years. He admits that. He talks about once you go there, you can't go back. You can't dabble in it. You can't pretend in it. It's all in all out. To your question, Rod, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. And it's the biggest question I have. About this decision, because I don't question having covered Sark when he was at USC as a young rising star. It wasn't a question when he got when he was hired at the University of Washington. It wasn't a question when he came back to USC, even after the just okay performance at with the Huskies. It was just seen as a can't miss. He was Lincoln Riley, Rod, back in the day.
I remember that.
This young offensive mind who could recruit and dynamic and. Can't miss. He was Lincoln Riley, because remember, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma is still only 36 years old. That was Sark, right? Sark was this young coach, dynamic, and he was going to be the guy at USC, and he burned that. He burned the bridge down. Not just burned the bridge, he burned the bridge down. And here he is 5 or 6 years later with an opportunity at another blue blood. Here's another thing I'll say, Rod, because I will admit candidly I do not know the answer to his current level of sobriety and his current level of commitment to that lifestyle. I do know that a lot of people in Alabama believe that Nick Saban was ready to make him the heir apparent at Alabama, and that one of the reasons that Steve Sarkisian has turned down other high-profile jobs in the last couple of off seasons after his success at Alabama was that he kind of thought he could be the next guy in line, because Nick Saban is over 70 years old now.
Yep.
Is there a chance to take that job? And he saw this as an opportunity to take this job, which was too good to pass up. And that's why we're doing this live starting at 5 o'clock this afternoon, Rod. This all began at 10 o'clock this morning, and in some reporting began at 10 o'clock last night. It's all happening fast. So questions need to be asked, answers need to be heard, vetted, listened to. But just on its total surface, it's a high risk, high ceiling hire that also comes with massive floor, right? Massive floor.
Yeah.
If you get it wrong,
Tom Herman could end up being a better coach than Sark. You're talking about the floor. That's the floor that Tom Herman's like. Actually, Tom Herman's a better coach than Sark. We don't know that right now. And to your point, Joe Klatt tweeted out earlier today, Sark had a couple of opportunities to become head coach over the last 12 months, but Alabama indicated they would go with him post Saban. Texas, however, is too good to pass up. He did a wonderful job at Washington and has grown significantly as a person. If it's him, it's a good hire. So, yeah, he's saying basically the same thing you're saying, that no, actually, Alabama had so much faith in his redemption and the fact that his commitment to the team and to his professional life. Again, they decided, no, he may be the guy post-Saban to take over Bama. So if Alabama has that type of view of Steve Sarkisian and his redemption and his reinvention, then I don't honestly that would be if I'm looking at references, that would be enough for me, because that's Nick freaking Saban. Now I will say, when you have Nick Saban around to handle all of the larger obligations and responsibilities of running a program, it's pretty easy to commit yourself to reinvention and to be the best version of yourself. Here at Texas, there's going to be a whole lot more pressure on Steve Sarkisian, and I'm just saying I do wonder if that's been considered, that hey, he may need some help in this thing. So that's all I was pointing out, but I do respect the fact that he has done a really, really good job in going going through kind of the Nick Saban coaching car wash that a lot of coaches go in. And once they come out squeaky clean because, and there's no doubt, Nick Saban, if he gives you a stamp of approval, I don't know if there's a better reference other than Bill Belichick in the country when it comes to coaching.
Yeah, well, and I would also put the Pete Carroll resume on there that he was a highly – I mean, one of the reasons he got the USC job was Pete Carroll's recommendation there. So there's a lot to like about the coaching side of Steve Sarkisian, personal side. Questions, huge questions, because that's where I'm at with it, Rod. I mean, you played the game, you played for coaches, so you understand that a lot more than I do. I've covered it. I've been through, you know, from John Makovic to Mack Brown to – you know, Charlie Strong now to Tom Herman and Steve Sarkisian covering it. I don't question his coaching IQ. I don't question his football knowledge because I think he's kind of a can't-miss guy on that. The Atlanta Falcons, did that thing go well? Whatever. The NFL may not have been for him. I just know the offense he's run at Alabama, the offense he ran at USC, and he's a really dynamic recruiter. My question is personal. My question is program builder. My question is that side of it. That's the biggest thing. And, you know, to your question earlier, and it's something we can address with our audience and with our guests who are coming up, Jeff Howe, Chip Brown, we'll reach out to our other Horn hosts and talk about and get their interest or thoughts on these huge, huge developments that have happened in the UT football program today. Rod, you're making – this is all on, you know, Chris Del Conte and Jay Hartzell. This is their decision. When I said earlier, once you tell your wife I'm moving on, it's hard to go back to her and say, no, I'm not. So did they say we're moving on and then couldn't land the right person for the job, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
so they kind of forced into this hire? That's – as we write the book of Texas football history – that has to be considered. They painted themselves into a corner with the chase of Urban Meyer. He said no. They couldn't then land an A-list guy that was going to make the fan base happy, and they landed on Steve Sarkisian as the hot flavor of the month because of what he's done with Urban Meyer the last couple of years. You know, these are all real conversations because I do not think Steve Sarkisian for any – I mean, I'll be on the record. I don't think it's a slam dunk, grand slam hire. It's got a high ceiling to it. There's some reasons to love it, but there are also perilous reasons to think that this is you were forced into this and you've married wife number three or four now. And the problem is you, not her.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, I'm with you. No, I said the same thing about, right, like, why has Halle Berry been married four times? Like, it's like she's Halle Berry. She's the hottest woman potentially on the planet. It's like, no, the problem is not all the men. And, yes, she makes bad decisions with men. But the problem may just be Halle Berry's kind of crazy. And I think Texas is Halle Berry. I think Texas, at this
point,
they're on the verge of becoming that. And it's weird that it's so strange because Max Olson, who covers Texas football for The Athletic, he just tweeted out he wasn't even invited to the introductory press conference. LA Chin's not running it live. Look, LA Chin's not running.
Well,
LA Chin's not running it live. We're not carrying it live. We are the station for the Longhorns. LA Chin is LA Chin. Like, what is, like, are you trying to hide it? What is, I don't understand what's the discretion here? Why is it so clandestine? What are we doing? Like, just let Longhorn Network run the press. Are they going to run it live? I don't know. They're delaying it. Andrew Richardson said they're waiting on a special guest to run it. So I think LHN's going to run it live. I believe they're going to run it live if I'm watching it now. But Andrew Richardson reports that they're waiting on a special guest. That's why they won't start on time. Who's the special guest? Are they bringing in
Will Muschamp? So the Zoom is not started yet?
That's what they're claiming. It's not started yet. And I'm watching LHN. If LHN is carrying it live, then they haven't started yet.
I don't think they are. Now, unless they pitch to fit, I will just say in full disclosure,
What's going on?
I at 4 o'clock today when I got the email that there was going to be a Zoom availability, it wasn't called a press conference, it was called a Zoom availability to introduce Steve Sarkisian to the Austin media and the assembled media. As the new head coach of Texas, I immediately inquired, can we carry that live? And I was told, no, it's just an availability, just like a post-practice availability, just like anything else. This is not the introductory news conference. That will be on January 13th as a full introductory news conference. And I said, well, is LHN carrying it? And they said, no, LHN will not be carrying that. It will just be an availability for the assembled
media. What's the point in being LHN if you can't carry the introductory the press conference for a next head coach? Like, why are they hiding it? Who's ashamed of it? This is like telling your side chick that you won't go out with. Like, what is happening? You already fired Tom Herman. Why won't you go out to eat with your new main squeeze. Why are you trying to hide it? Why are you trying to prep him? You got to prep him? If he ain't prepped already, then maybe you made the wrong hire. You ain't vetted him enough. What is happening here, man? So this gets to my point. This is a deeper point here. Because the problem here is the leadership issue at Texas, right? And I said this about the eyes of Texas. The fact that the leadership over there behind the 40 acres thought the eyes of Texas was going to go away. And I, as a black shirt almost, I predicted it. I went off on a rant several times and said, it ain't going away. It's going to become the biggest issue on the 40 acres, potentially in the country in college football, if you're not winning every game. And what happened? They go on a losing streak, and what becomes the biggest story? Even bigger than the losing streak, bigger than the incompetence of coaching on the 40 acres, what becomes the biggest story? The eyes of Texas. And nobody wants to stand for it. How racist it is. Because the people over there have no vision. They can't look toward the future. So when you had DeLoss Dodge and you had Mack Brown and you had Bill Powers, you had the Holy Trinity going on over there, you had great leadership. So listen, I like Chris. I like Chris Del Conte too. I like because he's got Bevo Boulevard and he responds on Twitter. That's great. But I got to tell you right now, there's no way you can say that Chris Del Conte handled this situation with Tom Herman in a competent fashion. He mismanaged it. He mishandled it. And if he said that his whole plan the whole time was to get Steve Sarkisian, then he's a damn liar.
Yeah. Well, and I think, again, Rod, the layers of this onion are deep and your passion is appreciated. And it's what it's all about. And look, the question will be asked of Chris Del Conte when and if he's allowed to be asked. Because let's be fair about this. We have not heard from Chris Del Conte in a question and answer scenario since September. He is not taking a question from a member of the Austin media or anyone outside of some booster Zoom calls that he did around the state with donors and folks on that level. But as far as media goes and anyone that would ask a question, Chris Del Conte has not done that in 4 months or longer. So your question is right on, and I think the bigger question is who actually led this search, who actually made this decision, you know, because I've been told that Chris Del Conte was in favor of keeping Tom Herman for all the reasons you're talking about, as early as just the Alamo Bowl the other night, that if we can't get an A and we can't guarantee an A, let's stay the course and move forward, but people above him had already signaled for the divorce. And so that's why it happened this morning. Rod, your questions and your passion about it are dead on. But in real time, here's the situation. Tom Herman's out. Steve Sarkisian is in. Who made the decision is a fair question. Was it the right decision is a hugely fair question. And we'll get to hear some from Tom Herman. I've just been given confirmation, and maybe you're watching it right now, Rod, that the Zoom conference with Steve Sarkisian is beginning right now. It was supposed to begin at 5 o'clock. And as I said earlier, clarification, the reason we couldn't carry it, we were told it is not a for-air broadcast. There's going to be an actual for-air open session press conference in 12 days or 11 days from now when he'll be introduced. This was a for the media introduction.
Not all the media is invited. So it's not an all media thing. They chose different members of the media who they wanted to invite who are right now on Twitter saying I didn't get an invite. So it's not all media.
Yeah,
just
that's right.
The media they like or whatever. I don't know.
That's fair. And we were told we couldn't carry it. Or at least we asked and were told, no, this is not for broadcast. And LHN was told the same thing. So we're, yeah.
It's the biggest story in the country right now in college football.
Correct.
Who's running the show over there? Who's running it, man? Seriously, we got to find out because I don't. If the boosters are running it, then that's fine. But I mean, who is in charge of the messaging and the branding? Because this is the same issue they had with the eyes of Texas. Like, nobody controlled the rollout of the message. Did anybody think about the rollout of the message? If Steve Sarkisian was going to be the guy? Or did they break it before? And how do you not know somebody's going to break that news? Like, this is the modern era of media. Somebody's always going to break that. You got to assume somebody's going to break that story. And then be ready to go. They weren't ready to go.
Well, Rod, all I can tell you is this. On real time conversations, I don't think anybody at UT knew it was coming until it came this morning.
It's a lack of communication, too, which is a bigger problem.
Yes. So I think it happened above the people that would be in control of that rollout. And actually, I know that on pretty good authority that they didn't know. I don't think the question I still have, and I have not been able to ascertain, is did Chris Del Conte know as of this morning that this is the way this was going? But to the rollout and how quickly, and it seems like it's slow now, but in real time it happened really fast. A lot of people were caught off guard at the University of Texas that this decision came this morning. I do think, to your point about someone is going to report it, I think the word got out by one of our guests over the course of our live coverage today that Chip Brown put this story out this morning just after 10 o'clock. That led to them having to release a statement ahead of what they had scheduled, and leads to everything you're talking about right now, that once the story got out, it had to be covered up. And they did not want this story to come out during the middle of the biggest basketball win in a long time, and possibly in the Shaka Smart era. But it did, and it overshadowed that conversation. Probably would have been handled differently. But again, Rod, goes to your point. Where are they as a relationship? Who's in charge? Who is rolling out messages, who's in charge of rolling out messages, who was in Arlington last night to meet with Steve Sarkisian to get this deal done,
right?
Because it sounds like it was known by Nick Saban before it was known by anybody in Austin, which would be an intriguing subplot to this entire conversation. All right, Rod, quick timeout. Let me give some props. We're going live here, live breaking news coverage in a really fast-moving Saturday. 2nd of January. I'm Aaron Hogan. He's Rod Babers. I'm in my home headquarters. Rod is in the Horn headquarters. Snoop Daniels running the show. We've got a Zoom conference that has begun right now with Steve Sarkisian, who's the new head coach at the University of Texas, the 31st head coach in Texas football history. Tom Herman has been dismissed. Buyouts and coaches and who's in, who's out, all on the table. And we're talking about it with you live. We'll get a quick timeout and come right back. All right, we roll on live and local. Breaking news. It's been quite a second day of 2021 for Texas athletics, Texas football, and for Texas fans. And I'm Aaron Hogan. He is Rod Babers. And we're going live with you, keeping you up to date with the latest. A Zoom conference has begun in the last 10 minutes, introducing Steve Sarkisian to the assembled Austin media. As Rod Babers pointed out, some of the assembled Austin media, we were unable to carry that live with you, but we'll have an eyewitness and conversation with Jeff Howe as soon as that Zoom wraps up with the media asking questions of the new head football coach of the University of Texas. Yes, that is true. That is not a mistake. If you're just tuning in and have been enjoying a beautiful Saturday here in Austin or throughout Texas, throughout anywhere you are, got out and enjoyed that during your holiday weekend, your New Year's weekend. Maybe you've been watching bowl games or playing golf or whatever you've been doing. It is true. As of about 10 o'clock this morning, Tom Herman was dismissed as the head football coach at Texas after four seasons. And then pretty quickly, the name Steve Sarkisian emerged as his lead replacement. And this afternoon, Coach Sark met with the members of the Texas football team, returning Texas members via Zoom call, directed by Chris Del Conte, by all reports, and then right now a Zoom call with the media to introduce Steve Sarkisian as the new head coach, and that's where we stand. It's obviously led to passionate debates and conversation. You're welcome to weigh in. The easiest way to get to us is on our Specs text line, 512-337-3776. You can also hit us up on the phone line. Snoop Daniel will take your call, screen it. We only want good calls with cogent points that are ready to progress the conversation here on this Saturday night. But Rod, on the way to the timeout, we're talking about how far down the list was Steve Sarkisian? Where does this stand? Who's in charge at the University of Texas? And I still think that is left unknown, and that's why I'm so anxious and eager to hear from Jeff and Chip and others that are on this Zoom call right now of, when did Steve Sarkisian know? When was this made aware? And as to your question, as a lifetime Longhorn, Rod, and someone who's passionate about this program, how far down did they go? Did they make a deal with the devil back in October and they had to move forward and take whatever was available and were turned down by a lot of good names? Or is Steve Sarkisian a high-volume, high-buy stock that is exactly what the University of Texas program needs? These are the questions that are on the table on this Saturday night.
Yeah, no, it is. And I want to make it clear that I don't know if Steve Sarkisian is going to be good or not. Like, I have no idea. Nobody does. We have no idea. I thought the whole premise of the coaching search was to upgrade And then when they couldn't upgrade, this is how I think, this is how I know, what is I know? I think I know, right? I think everybody says that these days. I think I know the Boosters are running the show. Because I believe that at one point, Tom, like basically CDC seriously considered keeping Tom Herman, but the Boosters don't like Tom Herman. Boosters didn't like Tom Herman. Never did what Mac did. I used to be at practice. Mac would bring boosters and donuts to practice. Come hang out, introduce them. Yeah, these guys are gonna one day have to hire you to get a job. All right, these are good guys. And he hung around with them, palled around with them. He was smart enough to get those guys in his corner. So even when Mac started having a mediocre record, you couldn't just fire Mac. Why? Because boosters and donuts were like, no, that's my friend. You ain't gonna just fire my friend. And there were some people that wanted to fire Mac, and some people were like, nope, I'm not firing Mac. That's my friend. He's also one of the great coaches. Ain't happening. Because Mac had created, had allies, right? Mac had created, so he had been here so long, 10 years, he had created some allies. And for some reason, Tom Herman, who had been, that's one of the first lessons I learned from Mac Brown. Hell, everybody should learn a lesson from Mac Brown. First, when you're around him, you realize Mac could get elected in any state he wanted to. He's that kind of guy. And yet Tom Herman didn't take that from Mac. So Tom Herman didn't hang out with the boosters like Mac did, so he didn't gain their trust, and they didn't think of Tom Herman as one of them. Mac got the booster and those to think of, Mac's one of us. And Tom Herman never learned that lesson. So once the Eyes of Texas thing happens and most of the boosters and the donors are anti-Tom Herman, he could never gain them back. Even when he goes on a winning streak, bowl games, it didn't matter. And I think for CDC, he was thinking, oh, when I don't get Urban Meyer, when I don't get Urban Meyer, I get Kyle Shanahan. When I don't get the guarantee upgrade, I'm just going to keep Tom Herman and then we'll figure it out. But that wasn't a choice. This is how I think it weighed out. I don't think that was a choice for him. I think he was told by boosters and donors, very significant ones, nope, you got to make a change. It's got to happen. We need a new coach. And he was like, well, all the coaches that you want have turned us down or signed extensions. They don't want this job. And they're like, nope, we need a new coach. And I think ultimately it ended up where, well, I got to get a new coach. And Steve Sarkisian's got to be the guy. To me, that's how it all worked out based on the timeline and the extensions and the reports and teams turning down Texas. They got to Steve Sarkisian at probably 7 or 8 on that list and decided, all right, I got to go with somebody because I can't bring Tom Herman back or CDC will be fired. And now, ironically, CDC's legacy is now wrapped up with Steve Sarkisian. And I don't know if that was totally his intention.
Yeah, and it's, Rod, it's something that I've talked about a lot, having covered you and was here when Mac Brown was hired. People talk about the last 50 years of Texas football, right? And it's 2021. So if you go back to the late 60s into the 70s, Darryl Royal was a great coach, right? And led the national championships. And the departure from Darryl Royal was not pretty. It led to a fracture in the program because of Mike Campbell and the hiring of Fred Akers. Yep. And politics, right? And the fracture never was repaired, even to the point where Fred Akers, the late now Fred Akers, just passed away last month.
Yep.
Fred Akers won 80% of his games. Fred Akers had a look at 2 national championships. Mm-hmm. He did a hell of a job, and he actually turned out to be the right hire for the program, but the fan base never accepted Fred Akers. Always wanted Mike Campbell because Darryl Royal never accepted the hire of Fred Akers. And that led to, okay, well, let's make amends, and we're going to hire David McWilliams, who was a disciple of Mike Campbell, who passed away, and then that led to, John Makovic, and, that never worked. And then Mac Brown was the right hire. Mac Brown was the right hire who brought everything back together and led to the greatest run of success in the history of the program, arguably, since Darryl Royal, certainly in the last 50 years. And then, the Mac thing got ugly at the end, and it ended, Rod, in a rift. And Mac didn't want to leave, and they wanted him out, and that led to, we need Nick Saban, and that didn't work, and that led to Charlie Strong and Steve Patterson, which was a disaster, which led to Tom Herman and a knee-jerk hire when he looked like he was going to LSU. So, that's where we're at. But to your point just then about Chris Del Conte, Chris, if this thing's going to work, whoever the coach is, it could be you, Rod, it could be me, it could be Bucky Godbold, it could be any of them. The key, in my opinion, to the success is the unification of the entire thing. And that's why these news conferences are important. That's why if it was Jay Hartzell, Kevin Elteif, and who's the director of the Board of Regents, and Chris Del Conte, whether Chris had to be talked into it, They've got to work together. The union of all of them, from the top to the bottom, from the leadership to the head coach, there has to be an agreement that this is our direction. Because Tom Herman almost got it over the hump, Rod.
He did.
He got it there. And gosh, if you go, you can trace this back to October of 2018, when they went in after losing to LSU early in the season, lost that game, turned around, got blown out by Oklahoma. I should say 2019. That's when the program began to slide. And, you know, they got smashed by Oklahoma in that game. It was only a 7-point game, but it was a lot worse than that. They stumbled the rest of the way. And Tom Herman lost favor. He had to fire 7 coaches, lost all the favor we talk about. He was given the opportunity to hire 7 new coaches. And then this year, back at the same Cotton Bowl in 2020, the vision of Sam Ellinger by himself, singing the eyes of Texas, the mishandling of that, the team not playing the right players, not achieving where everyone thought it should be. And again, you in your own mind listening to this conversation can have an opinion on whether that's the right thing. That should have been the expectation. But Rod, it was kind of unanimous that it was. This is a year to put up or shut up, and they didn't put up. They put up another trip to the Alamo Bowl. I think it was out by at that point, and here we are on this 2nd of January. And whether you love Steve Sarkisian, I love Steve Sarkisian, at the end of the day, Chris Del Conte and Steve Sarkisian have to get this thing on track because their futures depend on it, right? I mean, they are the ones that now have to say, you know, screw whatever Rod is saying, screw whatever E is saying, screw what everybody's saying. We have good talent. We have Texas. We have the resources. Herman was out, right? Herman was not going to be brought back. He had lost all faith. He had no alliances. Recruiting had dried up in a bad way. And at least our Sarkisian comes with the blessing of Nick Saban, Pete Carroll, some history. There's a ceiling. Whatever number he was on the list, Rod, they got to make this work, or they're both going to be out, and we're going to be back into the same conversation 2-3 years from now.
Yeah, no, it is. Those Mac Brown kind of random quotes, he give those words of wisdom. You go back to the BBs in the box analogy that the late great DKR gave to Mac Brown. Are the BBs in the box? Right? Can you get all of these separate factions, entities for Texas that follow Texas football and that love Texas football? Can you get all of them united on the same page and moving in the same direction? If you can do that, and matter of fact, as Mac Brown famously, I think, proved, you don't even have to be a football guy to do that. Right? Mac Brown, I love Mac Brown. Mac Brown's a Hall of Fame coach. There's no question about it. But Mac Brown's strength was hiring great coaches. He always had an eye for hiring really good coaches. He could recruit like an SO son of a gun. And right now in North Carolina, he's dominating recruiting in North Carolina. So he can recruit no matter what. And Mac would hire really good coaches to help kind of develop his talent. And Mac knew when to get out of the way. I never saw Mac Brown draw up a play on the dry erase board. I'm not saying Mac Brown wasn't a good offensive mind. I never saw him draw up a play. He never came over to correct my back pedal or a technique. He never critiqued me on football. He'd always be like, "Ma, come on, Rod, get it going. All right, do your best. I need you to get attitude. Yeah, make sure you got your body language. Doesn't look good." I mean, so Mac wasn't necessarily. I don't consider out of all the football guys I've ever been around in my life, Super Bowl head coaches, national championship. I never considered Mac a football guy. Mac's a people guy. Mac's about relationships and people. And he's really, really good at it, to the point where he probably can run for office right now and win. I'd vote for Mac today. And me and Mac don't even get along. But he knew it was about people, and so he would hook that up. That's why he brought the BBs back in the box. McAvick won games at Texas, won conference titles at Texas, and couldn't stay. Why? Because McAvick didn't give a damn about the BBs in the box. Never cared about that. He always thought, "Oh, if I win games, I'm fine." And he did win some games, but ultimately he had to go too, right? Because people got fed up with him. So I think you're right. I think if you can unite this fan base around one cause, one coach, then I do think it's really powerful. If you forget the initial quote by DKR is, when you put the BBs in a box, Texas is a powerful place. When you do it, it's only been done like a couple of times, right, in the last 20 years or so. So I do think that's a big part of it.
I think it's a powerful place either direction, and we've seen that, right?
Yeah.
When they're pulling against one another, it's like a tug of war. I mean, you can visualize this in your own head. It's a tug of war, and when it's a tug of war, it's terrible, right? You got two folks tugging and powerful forces tugging the wrong direction. And I think we've seen a lot of that. But when it is all moving in one direction, it is equally powerful. It becomes like a locomotive, right? We've seen that. You played in it, Rod. You were part of the beginning of that in the early 2000s that led to unprecedented success. And that's all I'm saying about Chris Del Conte. I mean, it's almost one of those, you know, I live life through the windshield, not the rearview mirror conversation. Texas, whatever this was, to me, the Tom Herman situation was, it had to end. And that's the one thing that I'm clear on, that because of the bridges burned, his handling of the coaching search situation last year, you know, his lack of awareness and his own ego to and hubris to a lot of what went on that were his fault, blamed a lot of other people. And then whatever happened in 2020 and the handling of the eyes of Texas, I mean, to me, it was almost like a relationship that had to end, Rod. And, you know, that just was. So at that point, you got to make the best out of what's there. And they chased Urban Meyer. It didn't work. And you also have to add into that that Jay Hartzell, the new president, is brand new. He just got on the scene. Kevin Eltif has been around, but he's new to his leadership role on the Board of Regents. And there's maybe, you know, some feeling of oats there. But either way, Rod, those gentlemen, and now Steve Sarkisian, who's been chosen, that has to move forward. If things are going to get better, to which is what I know you want, Rod, and what fans want, and we at the Horn want, and LHN, and everybody wants, they have to put that aside and move forward. There's still a lot of talent on this football team and in this program. Can Steve Sarkisian hire an incredible staff or a staff of young people who can come in and help get recruiting back on track? Because don't think that wasn't a huge part of where this is. Whatever Tom Herman has done, the future was as important as anything, because the recruiting misses of 2021 and looking into 2022 were desperate. The high school coaches were not on board with Tom Herman and his staff. The new staff that came in did not have time to build relationships. This thing was trending in a really bad direction. You got the Aggies down the road 90 minutes away, number 5 in the country, playing tonight in the Orange Bowl. Everything was – I mean, there's a reason why relationships end, Rod.
Yep.
And so now a new one has started, and it's happened, whether fans like it or not. To me, if it's going to work, having watched Charlie Strong not work, Tom Herman not work, Mac Brown at the end not work, Chris Del Conte has to put bygones aside, not have hurt feelings about however this went down, and he's got to figure out how to work with Steve Sarkisian, be united with the alliance above him, and get this thing on track. Because those BBs, that's up to those men. That's up to those people who are in those positions, Rod, to, whether they agreed with how it played out, agree to disagree, move forward for the best interest of Texas football. And whatever we think of Steve Sarkisian, he can coach football. I've watched Alabama the last couple of years. I watched USC when he was the quarterback's coach in OC.
We thought that about Charlie Strong and Tom Herman. They were incompetent imbeciles when they came here. They were both.
You're right.
Tom Herman was considered the it hire. He was considered perfect hire. Tom Herman was considered perfect because he was here as a GA. He was considered a no miss. There's no way it could mess up. He has done most of his recruiting in Texas. There's no way Texas can screw this up. He's perfect, and it wasn't. So don't give me that. And I don't care about what Steve Sarkisian is saying. I'm sure he's saying all the right things. I could too. Honestly, I don't give a damn until I see him play a game and see him win games. And then I got to see you beat Oklahoma. Then I got to see you beat Matt Campbell. Then I got to see you beat Garrett Patterson. Then I got to see you go to a college football playoff. Then I got to see you win a Big 12 title. I don't care anymore about all this. I don't. It doesn't matter. It is so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous for a school this talented, for a school with all these resources, to end up in an embarrassing position that they are now. All right, so all this stuff, we can talk about it for months and we will, and by the time Steve Sarkisian actually coaches his first game, we'll all be convinced he's going to win a national title because he's so damn good. Somebody just go out there and win a damn game, because coaching is hard, I guess. Even when you're getting paid a lot of money, it's ridiculous.
It is, and they spent a lot of money to buy this staff out and Tom Herman and hire a new staff. And I believe we have Jeff Howe from Horns 24/7 and, of course, Light the Tower every day 10 to 12 here on the Horn with us, who is a part of the Zoom conference, introducing Steve Sarkisian as the new head coach at the University of Texas. Jeff, good evening.
What's going on, guys? I was trying not to stress the new year, and that all went to hell about 10:30 this morning, so hope you guys are well today.
Well, props to you guys at Horns 24/7. I know Chip, who we'll talk to later, had the report, and you guys broke the news. And I asked Rod to start this live breaking news coverage. How surprised was he that Tom Herman was dismissed, B, that Steve Sarkisian was the answer? Give me your level of surprise on both fronts.
Surprised that Tom Herman was dismissed, E, not very surprised, unless something, and this is the part where we get into Steve Sarkisian. I mean, I felt all along like if the powers that be at Texas were aligned on one guy they felt could be a clear upgrade from Tom Herman, then it would happen. And clearly they felt that upgrade was Steve Sarkisian. So I'm not surprised at all that Tom Herman's out. And I think, we'll go post-mortem on Tom Herman at some point, maybe in this conversation, I don't know. But, when I think about Tom Herman, you look at the wins and losses, and, they're probably going to finish ranked in the top 25 this year, but it's not about that. It's the big thing for me, Aaron, even up until today, I never heard one prominent booster, nobody, no former player. I've seen more former players trashing Tom Herman today on social media than anything else. Nobody stood up and said, yes, Tom Herman deserves to be the guy, and here's why. We heard guys stump for Charlie Strong at the end, guys stump for Mac Brown. Nobody stumped for Tom Herman. So I'm not surprised that he's out. As far as Steve Sarkisian goes, we had obviously heard his name mentioned, but I think yesterday, probably around this time yesterday, we'd heard that, hey, keep an eye on this. And then probably, right around the time that game was over, we heard that, hey, this thing is really seriously starting to move. So I'm a little surprised at how quickly this came together, but, I caught a little bit of what Rod's saying, and it's a situation now where, for better or for worse, this is a guy that, similar to the move Greg Finvis and Mike Perrin made, 4 years ago, when they felt like getting Tom Herman was a clear upgrade from Charlie Strong, and they did the whole thing within a matter of hours. Kevin Eltif, the chairman of the Board of Regents, Chris Del Conte, Jay Hartzell, they all felt like, hey, this is a clear upgrade from Tom Herman. We've identified our guy. Let's go get him. Now we begin that process again that we seem to be stuck in covering this program every 4 or 5 years where there's a reboot and we see if this thing can get turned around.
It's been 11 years since they played in the Rose Bowl, 12 years now, but really 11 seasons since they played in a Rose Bowl for a national title, and it's been a lot of mediocre football. Jeff, let me ask you for the headlines of the Zoom call that you were a part of. It started a little late, didn't go at 5 like it was supposed to. What did you take, since we weren't able to carry it live or hear it, what did you take as far as headlines from the first conversation with Steve Sarkisian, who's now in charge of Texas football?
A lot of the stuff that you would expect to hear in an opening press conference, and this is an opportunity too good to turn down. He feels there's championship talent on this roster. Texas is one of the top jobs in the country. He was asked at one point, what the outside perception of Texas has been, for the last 10, 11 years. And he said when he's talked to his buddies in coaching circles, when they talk about Texas, it's what's wrong? Why isn't Texas in this college football playoff? He did say nobody knows unless you're in the building, you don't know, but he said that's kind of a perception. So some of the stuff you would expect to hear. A couple key takeaways for me, though. One, when he was talking about his offense and his offensive philosophy, he did mention, for all you Bijan Robinson fans out there, that he said every year Steve Sarkisian's been a head coach at the collegiate level, he's coached a 1,000-yard rusher. So those wanting more touches for Bijan Robinson probably should be pretty excited to hear that. I think the second thing is he said he's already met briefly with the current Texas coaching staff, and he's going to start immediate dialogue with guys that are not coaching at Texas as he starts to put the staff together. But he does plan on meeting individually with every coach on this staff. And I don't know if you guys have covered it, Rod. I know this is something we've covered on the Blitz. One of the qualities of a good coach is, can they identify good coaches? And that's one thing for Steve Sarkisian, for me, is can you look at this staff that Tom Herman put together and whoever it is say, no, that guy's a good football coach, or he can help me in recruiting, or he really coaches his position well, he can still help us win games, I'm going to keep him. So that process of Steve Sarkisian putting together a staff that, in a lot of senses, has already started, that was really interesting and one of the big takeaways for me in this deal. He's going to stick with Alabama through the college football playoff. Those are just a couple of the quick hitters. But to me, just the process of putting the staff together. And then he talked about dealing with some of his personal issues. I know that's been a really big deal when the Steve Sarkisian conversation has come up. And he said, he was asked about his personal life. He said, anytime you, and now this is a direct quote, anytime you go through something like I went through and you make the decision to get the personal help you need, it's a process. When you battle what I battle, you have to work at it every day. So, again, that's just one of those things. I know people.
Hey, Jeff, can I ask you personally about that? Did he say whether or not he considered himself to be an alcoholic?
I don't think those words specifically.
Did he say if he went to rehab or not?
I believe he did. I don't
believe. Did anybody ask him if he went to rehab or not?
No, that didn't come up because this was one of those deals. It wasn't like a typical Zoom call where we're allowed to ask questions. We had to submit questions into a queue and then the questions were
So nobody was really allowed to ask him questions? Is this soft opening for the coach that they seem like they were proud of but kind of are ashamed of because this is not actually a true unveiling? Does that not seem creepy and clandestine to you, Jeff, that they had a soft opening for a coach that this is the biggest story in the country in college football, and yet they had a soft opening where they didn't invite every member of the media and yet didn't allow LHN, their own network, to carry the Zoom press conference or the station that carries the games?
It seemed pretty on brand for Texas that the damn thing started about 25 minutes late. The whole deal, Rod, and, you know, I at some point saw some of the questions that got skipped over, and, it was what it was.
Yeah, okay. Kangaroo court of sorts. I just wanted to make sure. All right, that's all good. Thank you,
hey,
brother.
Jeff Howe is with us, and Rod Babers, of course, Aaron Hogan, live in local breaking news coverage. Texas has hired Steve Sarkisian to be their new head football coach. Tom Herman has been dismissed after 4 years. Pick up on that, Jeff, the clown show or the perception of that. Did Chris Del Conte, in your mind, and I know we're going to talk to Chip Brown coming up, who broke this story earlier from your guys at Horns 24/7. We'll talk to some other guests. Do you think that Chris Del Conte, this was his decision, or do you think this decision came above him and he's just executing orders?
No, I mean, look, you guys, the three of us have been around here long enough. You know, athletic directors, especially at a place like this, don't unilaterally make decisions on football coaches one way or the other. So, this was not Chris Del Conte's sole decision to make. It was never going to be his sole decision to make. I do think what's interesting, though, just in hearing some of the dialogue that we've heard over the last couple of weeks and as this thing is kind of unfolded, I wonder even the public show of support or whatever that statement was, however you want to couch it, whatever you want to label it as, to me, that was one of two things. It was either Chris Del Conte did a horrible job reading the room, or maybe he thought that the money guys would change their minds. But everything I heard, really since the Oklahoma game, is all the big money was 100% behind moving on from Tom Herman, and I think this is a situation where at the end of the day, the guys that write the checks got what they wanted. Now, obviously, we know they wanted Urban Meyer, but the main thing they wanted at the end of the day was just somebody other than Tom Herman to be coaching this football team for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to follow. Jeff, we appreciate it. We know you've got – go ahead, Rod. You got one more question?
I do have one more question. Did he talk to the players? Has he talked to the players already?
He said they had a brief team meeting. We were told Sam Ellinger was not a part of that team meeting, for anybody that wants to know. Mm. So read into that what you will. Steve Sarkisian said he does plan on talking to Sam Ellinger. But I was told it was they've had very, very brief interactions. This is all, like I said, Steve Sarkisian still putting together a game plan to coach in a national championship game. So not a whole lot of time. But, yeah, there's been at least just some – just brief, kind of informal deal.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
The thing
I've
got is any other piece of news or nuggets? I mean, from the Nick Saban side, obviously he's going to coach the national title game. There was some – I know Joel Klatt had a tweet about he was hearing that he could be the heir apparent to Nick Saban. Because I know a lot of Longhorn fans are frustrated that this didn't land on a Grand Slam hire, Rod included. Is there some optimism that this could be – that there's a reason that this is a high-ceiling hire for them?
I think, the talk from people in Alabama, the talk from people in coaching circles, the talk from folks we've talked to nationally, the big upside for Steve Sarkisian is if he can put together the right staff, and we've already heard names, Tosh Lupoi's name has been thrown out there, who's a recruiting rainmaker, and we've heard that this staff, if it's done properly, if it's put together properly, could be a staff that really gets Texas back in that elite class of landing recruiting classes. I'm talking top five, top three type classes. That is the upside that you're getting with Steve Sarkisian, on top of the fact that kind of really rebuilding himself personally, professionally, being around Nick Saban. So I do think it is one of those risk-reward hires. There is inherent risk, but if it hits, you've got a chance to have something really special. And I'll say this in closing, Rod, we talked about this, and this is kind of one of the one unknowns. That offense at Alabama, is it Steve Sarkisian's offense? Is he the brain trust behind it? Or is it just, you look at last year's Alabama team, you're going to end up having four wide receivers off that one team drafted in the first round of the draft. So is it just an insane amount of talent, or is it just your offensive prowess as an offensive mind? And we know in the Big 12, when you face high-quality coaches, the Lincoln Rileys and the Gary Pattersons and the Matt Campbells of the world, you're long past the point where Texas had a rolling rock when you were there under Mack Brown, where you can just roll the ball out and say, you know what? 9 out of the 10 games we play in this league, we're just better than everybody else. So, you know, we're just going to be able to have at it. You can't do that anymore. There are too good of coaches in this league. You've got to give yourself a schematic advantage. And that, to me, is the big thing, is can Steve Sarkisian give you the schematic advantage that you were not getting with Tom Herman?
Yeah, I agree.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, and as I said earlier, Jeff, I mean, people can say I'm overinflating it, but to me, having covered it and covered USC, I mean, Steve Sarkisian was – Lincoln Riley before Lincoln Riley. He was supposed to be the heir apparent at USC for Pete Carroll. He was the next big thing. He's still only 46 years old, and he was 36 when he got the UW job back in 2009 or 2010. So, again, I mean, who knows? I mean, if he's through the personal stuff, I don't doubt his scheme and his coaching. But at the same time, it is a it's a down-the-list hire, as Rod has articulated very eloquently. So here we are. The times of Texas. Jeff, thanks a lot. We know you're in the middle of a relaxing weekend, and we appreciate you jumping in. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. See you boys Monday.
All right, there we go. Rod, we'll pick this up. Chip Brown is going to join us, good friend. And nice. He broke this story this morning at about 10 o'clock, and what I was told, that kind of jumped the gun for everybody at Texas. This story was supposed to drop at their leisure this afternoon because I think it was going to take a lot of people by surprise. And they had a plan, and Chip, because he does great reporting, had it ahead of everybody, and it came out, and then the story had to drop. So we'll ask Chip about that, you know, the epicenter of the conversations that circulated around Steve Sarkisian, what led from Tom Herman being out to Steve Sarkisian being the guy. And as you asked, Rod, we'll ask Chip coming up, how far down the list was Steve Sarkisian from his reporting? We'll get to all of it. Rod Babers, Aaron Hogan, it's The Horn, live and local, breaking news when it happens here on The Horn, as you know, on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and of course streaming on your smart speaker, on the Horn app, and at hornfm.com.
It's Aaron Hogan for Coke.
All right, B&E. With you, it is a Saturday evening, live and local coverage of the developing situation involving the Texas football program. I'm Aaron Hogan, Rod Babers in the Horn studio. Appreciate Rod jumping into action here this afternoon on a relaxing, beautiful Saturday throughout Central Texas.
Oh, it's fun,
across
man.
The Lone Star.
It's good stuff.
Hey, thanks,
I need to vent, because if I don't, I'm just gonna be yelling at home with my now fiance, and she's gonna kick me out. So that's I need to yell and scream and get it out of my system.
Well, it's I think it's a healthy antidote for a lot of Longhorn fans to hear the conversation, weigh in on the conversation. Snoop Daniel is running the show. We appreciate him. He
Snoop
was at
too.
A high school football game this afternoon where the Hayes Rebels, Hayes are formerly known as the Rebels, they're moving on from that name, but they beat up on Vandegrift earlier today to end the Vipers season, so they move on into the fifth round. So we had high school football. We had the Longhorn basketball team playing as well as maybe we've ever seen them under Shaka Smart.
Shaka with the afro, baby. I'm telling you, it's something about the hair. It's like Samson. His strength is in his hair.
Well, that roster, pretty good too. Hair is good. Roster is better as they roll out a lot of good players and didn't even take a couple. Royce Ham didn't make the trip and some others, and they didn't just beat. That was the worst loss in the Bill Self era at Kansas at Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
It's amazing.
As bad as they beat them today. So very, very impressive. But that was kind of the juxtaposition of the day. Very odd in that this morning the story broke that Tom Herman was dismissed at the advisement of Director of Athletics Chris Del Conte to the President Jay Hartzell. They made that decision. And then our next guest, who joins us on the Vaqueros Hotline, reported that Steve Sarkisian had been targeted as the for Tom Herman, and that story broke, which led to a whirlwind of a day here in Austin, Texas, and Steve Sarkisian now officially the new head football coach at the University of Texas. Excited to bring back to the airwaves and make part of this conversation Chip Brown from Horns 24/7 and formerly of The Horn. Chip, Happy New Year. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Happy New Year. What a day.
What's up, Chip?
What's up, Rod B?
Hey, man. Go ahead. Walk us through this last 48 hours for you while we were sitting back watching the national semifinals yesterday and Alabama beat Notre Dame and Ohio State beat up on Clemson. Obviously, I think a lot of us thought that there still could be a revisit of the Tom Herman future. even after the impressive win on Tuesday night, and even after, you know, the vote of confidence from Chris Del Conte. What was the last 48 hours for you and your reporting, and what led to what went down today?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that there was. I kept hearing, you know, information about Steve Sarkisian and that Sarkisian and Texas are talking, and so as that continued to develop, you know, just tried to zero in on when something could happen, and then really, you know, found out last night that it looked like it was going to be Sarkisian and that something could go down today. So, you know, broke the story, and then, you know, here we are. I mean, just got off a Zoom press conference call with Sarkisian. He spoke to Texas players at about 3:45 today. It'll be interesting to see where he goes with his staff. You know, anytime I always say an offensive-minded head coach is going to be made or broken by his defensive coordinator. And it sounds like, you know, he would at least consider Chris Ash. You know, I've also heard Will Muschamp's name as a possibility, you know, as a possible defensive coordinator. So we'll see. I mean, obviously he's going to be coaching in the national championship game with Alabama on the 11th. And so I know he's already put in some work and is trying to identify his staff right now. So it wouldn't surprise me if some of that stuff starts to come together before the 11th. But I think, you know, in talking to Steve Sarkisian tonight, it's clear that he's grown up as a coach, you know, from when he took over at Washington at the age of 33. And then moved on to USC and you know, went 12-6 there before being fired for, you know, disorderly conduct, alcohol. He talked about how every day is, you know, a soul-searching mission for him and being the best version of himself that he can be. But I can tell you that UT administrators feel like they're getting a super mature leader for Texas student athletes and a really talented offensive mind who can do battle with Lincoln Riley and hopefully surround himself with a great staff and a great recruiting staff.
Hey, Chip, I got, and this is going to sound like an a-hole question. I don't want to be insensitive. Hey, you've done a lot of reporting, and you probably are behind the scenes in college football as well as anybody. Has he ever at one point said he's an alcoholic or like that's a problem for him? And has he ever admitted to going to rehab, or is that just something nobody knows about?
Yeah, he mentioned today, he talked about a sponsor. I mean, okay. He made it sound like, you know, he's either taking part in meetings or he's in contact with a sponsor, which is, you know, is typically
– yeah.
You know, something associated with Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know he has gone through rehab. So, you know, I think he, and obviously, you know, UT administrators feel like he's learned from his past. That was 13 years ago when he got the job at Washington. And so, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Ed Orgeron in that Orgeron was, and Sarkisian said this too, when you're a young coach, you try to do too much.
Yeah.
You don't delegate well. Orgeron did that at Ole Miss. Then they both got fired at USC. And then, you know, Orgeron figured it out and won a national championship at LSU. And I think Texas is hoping that Sarkisian has learned from his not only his time at Alabama, but his time in the NFL with the Falcons. He had a 2-year stint there replacing your buddy, Kyle Shanahan, Rod D.
Shout out.
And so I'm really interested to see what his staff looks like because, you know, some of the names I'm hearing are, it's exciting. I mean, I think if he can reel in some of these guys, you know,
like a Travaris Robinson, who was the DC for Muschamp at South Carolina, who I think Dan Mullen is also trying to hire, you know, considered an elite recruiter and, you know, possible secondary coach. But, you know, we'll see. But Sarkisian, I think, a little bit of a surprise, you know, to go with a guy who's not a sitting head coach or a head coach with a ton of, you know, success as a head coach. But look, Oklahoma has made a living off of hiring coordinators and killing it. So
yeah,
there's you know, something to be said for that.
Broke the story this morning and does great reporting, obviously. And you know, it's, you know, Ryan Day was an assistant to Urban Meyer and has picked up that ball and run with it. And obviously, you mentioned Lincoln Riley, and that's what you're hoping. Steve Sarkisian. One thing I would say about the Washington job, people are throwing around the overall win and loss record, which is fair. I mean, you are what your record says. You know, he inherited an 0-12 team from Tyrone Willingham at Washington and rebuilt that in a pretty short amount of time into a contender, and then that landed the USC job. But either way, the personal issues derailed what could have been. You know, he could have been at USC still. And I think, Chip, you documented that. Let me double back while we have you, Chip, because Chip Brown is with us. The end of the Tom Herman era. It's 4 years. I mean, obviously, four seasons, 4-0 in the bowls, but 50 and, you know, 28 or 30 or whatever the record is, 32. How big of a surprise do you think this morning's news came to Tom? And, you know, what's your kind of obituary on Tom Herman's 4 years in Austin?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but and I've said this repeatedly, but Tom Herman was doomed by the eyes of Texas situation after the Oklahoma game. You know, not having that buttoned up, that caused him more angst and more. He lost all goodwill with not only his bosses, you know, Chris Del Conte, Jay Hartzell, Kevin Eltife, the Regents chair, big money guys. The fact that he didn't have that situation buttoned up and you know, that he didn't take seriously the coaching meetings with Chris Del Conte saying, hey, that student athletes don't have to sing, but they do need to stand together for the eyes of Texas. And they didn't have that pulled together for TCU and Oklahoma. That bothered the big money guys in the UT administration more than the losses on the field. And Herman never recovered from that. And I know not a lot of people understand that who aren't, you know, tied into the Texas family, but they didn't think that Herman valued the traditions at the school or listened, you know, that he just was above it. And he never recovered from that. And that's when the search with Urban Meyer began, or the flirtation with Urban Meyer began back in October. And I think when that fizzled in early December, the higher up, you know, and the big money guys just could not let go of that. And they wanted to move on from Herman. And so it's, you know, look, he had a 10-point lead on Iowa State midway through the third quarter. If he hangs on and wins that game, he plays for the Big 12 championship this year. But, you know, his teams were tough. They played hard. They never got blown out. His worst loss was a 17-point loss at TCU in his first year. Team got better as the year went on, but he couldn't recover from what happened in October.
Hey, Chip, can I ask you just a question of – I know you were real dialed in with the coaching search, flirtations, whatever they want to call them. How far down the list was Steve Sarkisian? I mean, because I know, you know, Urban Meyer was considered to be the top guy, like the no-brainer, could have united, put the BBs back in the box, right? Donors, boosters, fans, everybody on the Urban Meyer bandwagon. Kyle Shanahan, you know, Brian Kelly is thrown out there, all these different names, Dabo potentially. In your estimation, how far down the list was Steve Sarkisian? Are we talking 7-8?
No, I mean, Sarkisian, believe it or not, was one of the first names I heard being vetted outside of Urban Meyer. In fact, it was the first name that I heard. And, you know, they vetted Matt Campbell. They vetted Mario Cristobal, but I think they faded on those. I think there was real interest in Brian Kelly, but that was going to be tricky because Brian Kelly's, what, 3 wins from becoming the all-time winningest coach in Notre Dame history, like surpassing Newt Rockne. And so, you know, I think Sarkisian was one of the first guys to be vetted outside of Urban Meyer. And a guy that they kind of stayed locked on, you know. I thought it was a passing thing, and then I was like, I heard at the SEC championship game, one of my sources said Sarkisian's still talking to Texas, and I'm like, okay, all right then, let's get down that road
the Texas Rangers,
because I think that, you know, they saw him as a guy who could match wits with Lincoln Riley and continue a Saban-like culture. Now, listen, I'm not saying anyone can do what Saban does. That doesn't happen. But we'll see. We'll see what Sarkisian has learned from his experiences.
Live and local here on the Horn with Chip Brown, who broke the story this morning, Horns 24/7 Sports. As usual, doing great reporting, joining myself, Aaron Hogan, and Rod Babers. Snoop Daniel producing in this live breaking news window. After Steve Sarkisian has been named the new head football coach at the University of Texas this afternoon, met with the players on a short Zoom meeting, met with the media this evening, and Tom Herman informed this morning that he will not be retained. As the statement release said, Chris Del Conte advised the leadership that a change was needed at the football coaching level. Hey, Chip, a couple other things while we have you. And again, we appreciate the reporting and the visit. Chris Del Conte in this mix. I mean, you know, we talk about BBs in boxes and everybody unified, and it sounds for sure like Jay Hartzell, Kevin Eltief there at the Board of Regents, and the big money was unified on this. Where is Chris Del Conte in this? There was some thought that he wanted to go to bat for Tom Herman to keep him, to stay the course, kind of like with Shaka Smart in basketball, one more year, and maybe lost that. Where is, obviously, success at Texas means the AD and the coach are on the same page. Where do you think Chris Del Conte is in this mix with Steve Sarkisian moving forward now that that decision has been made?
Well, as long as Steve Sarkisian wins, Chris Del Conte is great, because it was not a pretty process. The statement that Del Conte put out before signing day, the reiteration of Herman as the head coach, was now seems like a futile exercise. And you know, Herman, I mean, Del Conte made some calls during the recruiting process to recruits about Herman being the coach. And, you know, that's ugly. That's the sausage getting made. But if Sarkisian comes in and wins and the program, the arrow of the program goes up, everyone will forget about that, because as an athletic director, you're as good as your football coach, unless you're at Duke. So it's going to come down to that. And, you know, we'll see if with the new South End Zone, the new football complex, Texas football has a lot of things it can sell in recruiting. Now it's got, you know, Sarkisian with all the experience that he's had at Alabama with, you know, stud players gone on to the NFL and high powered offenses. So, you know, as Rod knows, you always got to have something shiny and new to sell in recruiting. And Sarkisian has that now. And we'll see if he can, you know, take the talent. Because he said tonight, look, there's talent on this roster, yep, and he's excited about it. And he told the team he thinks they can win immediately. So we'll see how well he can put his staff together and get to work in the spring.
Hey, Chip, I want to ask you about the coaching staff. You know, because Urban Meyer, you know, bringing up Urban Meyer is actually going to hurt a lot of Longhorn fans here, but he's famous for keeping guys from the previous staff, right? He'll interview all the coaches on the previous staff, and, you know, Chris Ash is one of those guys, and Charlie Strong is one of those guys. Like, he likes every now and then, oh, I may have a guy that I can keep that can help me kind of implement the culture a little bit easier. I wonder if Tom Herman messed up by not keeping a guy like Jeff Traylor on the staff, right? Jeff Traylor turned out to be a great coach, Everybody loved him in the locker room. Could have been a way for you to actually gain solidarity with those players while implementing your new culture before you actually gained their trust. And I do wonder if now coming in, if we're going to see, because I love Chris Ash. I thought he's done a great job. I love the, you know, Oscar Giles is killing it as a defensive line coach. Coach Hagan as well has done a great job on that defensive line. Coleman Hustle with the linebackers has been amazing. Is it possible that we could see, you know, Sarkisian come in here and decide, no, the defense actually was trending in the right direction. I like a lot of these coaches and keep them.
I mean, it's possible. I mentioned Will Muschamp, Tosh Lapoy is another guy who was with Sarkisian at Washington. Lapoy ended up going to Alabama. And, you know, is a guy who I think spent the last year with the Atlanta Falcons. I've heard his name as a possible addition to his staff at Texas. So we'll see. It would be interesting if it was Muschamp. He might keep, you know, a Coleman Hustler. But if he decides it's Chris Ash, then maybe he does just decide, hey, you know what? You all have a good thing going here. I think he has more firm ideas on the offensive side of what he wants to do with his staff than he does on the defensive side. So I think he is open-minded to it. I mean, at least that's what I heard today. So, like I said, I'm fascinated to see where he goes with his defensive staff.
Agreed. And Chip mentioned earlier, Chip Brown is with us for a couple more seconds and a couple more questions. You mentioned the name Will Muschamp. I actually heard that name this today too, that Will Muschamp on the street and a one-time coach in waiting at Texas. Could they reunite those two here, offense to defense? And obviously fans are looking for reasons for optimism. Chip, one other thing, the recruiting side of this, one of the big reasons for the change, I think, at the highest levels of Texas, certainly with Chris, was Christo Conti, was the recruiting drying up and the loss of the offensive line class that did not come together in the Brockemeyers and obviously Quinn Ewers. Can anything with Steve Sarkisian today and any thought on rebooting the recruiting class for 2021 and certainly in 2022?
Yeah, how about that? Jalen Milrow, who was committed to Texas in the 2021 class, the quarterback out of Katy, ends up, you know, committing to Alabama and Steve Sarkisian. So we'll see. I mean, I think they got to hit the ground running. I mean, at signing day in February, and we're going to get an idea real quick if these guys can, you know, change some players' minds. We're going to know that in February.
A lot going on, and 30 minutes was yeoman's work by you as usual, and we'll continue to see it at Horns 24/7 Sports. Thanks for jumping on with Rod and myself, and for the very latest.
You got it, E. Hogan, Rod Beasy. Happy New Year.
Hey, thanks, Chip. You the man, bro.
Yeah, Chip Brown broke that story this morning, and Rod, I mean, you're fired up. Any thoughts on what you heard? I mean, I heard the name Will Muschamp this morning. We talked about, you know, Steve Sarkisian, 7th or 8th on the list. He says it was 2nd or 3rd. And does it change anything, or is that just you're I think you're like most fans at this point in wait-and-see mode. Show me, don't tell me anything. I need to see it. But I will say this for Steve Sarkisian. I do think he was a high-level coach before his alcohol problems. And he could come in here with a Heisman Trophy winner and a national championship under his belt and some recruiting momentum, at least in that fold, which Texas needs right now because there was no momentum under the current head coach.
No, I agree, but it's just not a guaranteed upgrade. So, listen, I'm not being negative about Steve Sarkisian hire. It could end up being a great hire, but I think we can all agree that if you're looking at the top candidates, I would have taken Matt Campbell over Steve Sarkisian. And what Chip Brown is telling me is that Matt Campbell wasn't a top candidate. And I'm like, what? Campbell should have been a top. He should have been a higher candidate than Steve Sarkisian. So my point is, I just want to know how far down the list. And if you never vetted Matt Campbell because you didn't like him, that's fine. Or if you never went after Brian Kelly, even though you could pay him twice what he's making at Notre Dame, then that's fine. Like I want to know about the process. All the process told us was, oh, they went after Urban Meyer, and then they started going after you know, their the secondary, tertiary choices. That's it. And I just want to know how far down the list. There's no doubt he's not the top guy, but maybe they thought he's their top guy. And if that is the case, then now CDC's legacy is tied to Steve Sarkisian. But don't tell me that you can guarantee Steve Sarkisian is going to be the guy that can outsmart Gary Patterson, outduel Lincoln Riley, and outcoach Matt Campbell. You just don't know that. There's no guarantee of that. Yes, it could happen. I am praying and hoping it happens, but that's me going on faith. Yes, I'm a Christian, so I have faith, but that's all you have right now. There's no evidence of that, and that's what faith is, right? Faith is having belief in something without evidence. There's no evidence Steve Sarkisian's going to come in here and be the next Mac Brown. So that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying temper the expectations like we had when we thought Tom Herman was going to come in here and win 3-4 national titles. Especially after 2018 when Sam says, we're back. Okay. Right? So my point is, like, let's just slow down on the expectations. And maybe, if Steve Sarkisian is indeed low down on that list, then maybe Texas is not as sexy as they think they are. Right? Just like when they were going after Charlie Strong and Jim Mora turned the job down. Jim freaking Mora turned the job down. That's just an idiot choice on his part. But then Art Briles turned it down and James Franklin and Nick Saban and Gus Malzahn and Jimbo Fisher and all these different coaches decided they don't want the job. So let's just get Charlie Strong. And how did that work out? And then when you got the guy you thought was going to be the future, the prince that was promised, how did that work out? So now I'm just looking deeper and saying maybe even if Steve Sarkisian is a good damn coach, and by the way, there are good coaches at the University of Texas that leave and go places and still excel. Mack Brown couldn't win here because Mack Brown couldn't evolve here, right? He regressed here as a coach. He got worse. He went to North Carolina, became a new coach, and now killing it. Manny Diaz was not a terrible coach. He was not an incompetent imbecile like everybody said he was here. Turns out, decent coach. I'm not saying he's the best coach, but he's going to have to be a head coach. Same thing with Brian Harsin. So my thing is, maybe it's the toxic environment. Maybe it's something larger. Maybe it's a more macro issue about leadership and culture and communication on the 40 acres. Maybe it's not the coach. So maybe I'm not dogging Steve Sarkisian. Maybe I'm saying Steve Sarkisian is doomed from the start. Just the way the other coaches have come in and been doomed from the start because of the culture that exists there. So let's start trying to solve the more macro issue, all right? And let's quit addressing the symptoms, and let's address the actual affliction. That's all I'm saying.
And it's a fair point, and it's a strong point. And as we said earlier, if you compare it to a relationship of any kind, the divorcee needs to realize the next one is not guaranteed to work if you're still the same person, right? And I think there's a lot to that. I do think, just my opinion, is that based on football coaching and leadership and what he can be, Steve Sarkisian's an upgrade over the current, or the previous head coach now, in Tom Herman. But if the other side of that relationship does not change their ways and support that coach to the highest level and get on board and don't unify around it, it won't work because that's not going to happen. And Tom Herman came in saying the right things 4 years ago about, you know, he's been a part of championship staffs and coaches win games and, you know, administrations win championships. And that was his phrase. I think the administration was ready to back this coach and back this staff. And they showed that last year by allowing 7 changes and 2 and 3 year, you know, commitments to new coaches that didn't pan out. And I think Chip was pretty solid about the Eyes of Texas stuff. And that went to a bigger symptom of the lack of leadership. Let's not just remove Tom Herman's, you know, his behavior and his handling of things from the conversation and let's put it all on Texas. I think there was a mix there, which is typical when a relationship dissolves, as this has. But you're right on, Rod Babers. I mean, moving forward, both sides have to admit their faults and, you know, move forward with it. Wherever Steve Sarkisian fell, if indeed Chip's right and he was second or third after Urban Meyer, and they think they're buying a high-level stock that was on his way to high-level coaching, but then personal issues got in the way, and he's through that, and he's only 46 years old, and he's got the blessing of Nick Saban now. You know, that's some of the reporting from the Alabama side that Nick was trying to keep him, and there was thought he could be the heir apparent to Nick Saban. Who knows? Who knows? And as you said it, Rod, right on. We're all done with, you know, say this or do that. It's got to be on the field. Let's win a football game. Let's play for a Big 12 championship. Let's move forward. And that's where Texas is right now on this 2nd of January, 2021. Obviously, major, major breaking news. We'll get a quick timeout. Thank you to Chip. Thank you to Jeff Howe for the very latest as we bring you live and local in and around our other coverage. When we come back, we'll get some final thoughts from Rod. We'll take your thoughts on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Obviously, if you're just jumping in, tuning in, heading out to dinner tonight, and you've been watching bowl games or playing golf or living a great Saturday, Texas has made a dramatic change at the top of their football program. Did it this morning. Tom Herman dismissed. Steve Sarkisian hired as the new head football coach at Texas. His staff changes will be pending as far as interviews and who's coming and who's going out. He will coach the Alabama Crimson Tide in the national championship game in 10 days for a national title, and then assume the role with an official press conference to announce his tenure at Texas coming on January 13th. That's where we sit right now. That's the latest here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Appreciate the interaction and the conversation on the Specs text line on our Twitter account at the Horn ATX and all over socials. We've been at it since 5 o'clock when word broke that Steve Sarkisian officially had become the new head football coach at Texas and was going to meet with the assembled media here in Austin on a Zoom call. That did happen during our conversation. Myself and Rod Babers, I'm Aaron Hogan. Snoop Daniel at the Horn headquarters running the operation. We're going to post both hours, our 5 and 6 o'clock hour, to our website and to our socials. So if you go back and listen and hear Jeff Howe, who had just been a part of that Zoom call, his thoughts on the hiring of Steve Sarkisian and an initial first reaction. Same for Chip Brown, who broke the story this morning. And, of course, Rod Babers, a passionate conversation about this decision by Texas, the leadership that made it, and the future of Texas football. And, Rod, I think we'd all agree wherever you stand on this call. I think, to me, it was inevitable. So just, you know, I'm actually not surprised, but I think that my only level of shock today is that it all happened so quickly, that we're talking about the firing of one coach and the hiring of another coach who has a game to coach in 10 days. That could have maybe waited, but I think this is the kind of Chris Del Conte's MO. When it's time to move, it's time to move. And, you know, change one out, bring in another, whether it's recruiting or just good business. But either way, the fact that we're talking about both in real time, we didn't really get a chance to have a post-mortem on Tom Herman and that decision before you're already talking about Steve Sarkisian and the right decision. Obviously, if Urban Meyer's name had replaced Steve Sarkisian, there'd be a lot different conversation.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's two monumental decisions on one day for Texas, moving on from a head coach and buying him out and potentially most of his coaching staff, and hiring a coach who comes with a lot of risk in Steve Sarkisian, who's only 46 years old, got a lot of ceiling, but at the same time comes with baggage.
Yeah, I understand the move. I mean, we could go over the stats over and over again, but we know at this point Tom Herman was an above-average coach. And by the way, he wasn't a bad coach. I never thought he was a bad coach. But at Texas, you're not going to win conference championships with an above-average coach, and definitely not going to win national championships. And ironically, Texas A&M and North Carolina are getting ready to play, right? And Texas A&M is now considered to be a top-five program in the country, one of the better programs in the country. And North Carolina, of course, has the great Mack Brown, a College Football Hall of Fame coach, who is coaching there and doing a great job dominating recruiting, and everybody likes the style of play for North Carolina. I love the fact that while Mack Brown was here, he mocked the air raid, and when he went to North Carolina, he had decided he wanted to adopt the air raid, and now he's killing it. I digress. We'll move on to something else. But my point is this: if you're Texas, you're looking around at your rivals, Oklahoma, who's won 6 straight Big 12 titles. They've won, is it 13 Big 12 titles with 9 different quarterbacks? I lose count because it's such a crazy number.
Well, so 14 in 25 years, I know that.
So there you go, 14 with 9 different starting quarterbacks. So they can have a scrub at quarterback and they can win the Big 12. Hell, when Texas wins the Big 12, we need a transcendent, all-time great quarterback to win the Big 12. Oklahoma can trot out some jag and win the Big 12, but that's just how the programs are different. Also different because they hire assistant coaches to turn out to be all-time great coaches. Don't forget, Bob Stoops was an assistant. he was a defensive coordinator. They came from Florida, and then, boom, came to the Big 12, brought in Mike Leach in the air raid. By the way, he's demanded to introduce the air raid to the Big 12, and then, of course, dominate the Big 12 for years to come. And then they had the coach in waiting with Lincoln Riley, whose family actually has ties to the University of Texas, but also, I digress. And then they go on to win 6 Big 12 titles. And by the way, what's the Shakespearean irony of the state of Texas being the quarterback mecca, producing quarterbacks at the college and the pro level at a rate that no other state has ever done in the history of football, and yet Oklahoma, the rival to Texas, is considered quarterback U? You know what I mean? The Shakespearean irony of all this stuff, it easily leads you to the point that Tom Herman had to go. My issue with Texas right now is the shady down-low rollout. Were you ashamed of your hire of Steve Sarkisian? Why is it something that is kind of, why is it a soft opening? right? Why can't you just when Tom Herman was the guy, I mean, they were announcing it from the rafters. It seems like now Longhorn Network's not going to run the press conference or the Zoom conference. We don't get it. Members of the media aren't there. They're screening questions for Steve Sarkisian. Are you proud of the hire, I asked CDC? Are you proud of the hire, University of Texas? Because you don't act like you're proud of it. When you're proud of the woman that you're with, you take her out in public. You take her out to dinner. You're showing her off. You're bragging about it. You want the world to see your dime piece on your arm because you know everybody going to be jealous because she's fine as hell. But with Steve Sarkisian, it seems like you're trying to go to the movies around midnight because you don't want nobody else to see who you with. What's going on with that? That's weird, man. That's weird, man.
Well, my only defense of that, and I'm far be it from me to carry the mail for the administration, but I will, in that based on what I've heard today, this all came very quickly for them, too.
So you're going to say incompetence then they can't get their S together? So I'd rather have the other suggestion. They were trying to be shady rather than they couldn't get together. And there's a lack of miscommunication. They have no communication on the floor. They don't even know how to roll out a press conference? Come on.
But I also think Steve Sarkisian was given an afternoon by Nick Saban to handle this and then back to Alabama because they have a national championship game to prepare for in 10 days. But either way, I mean, if Texas was going to get their guy and they were going to get it in their window, they had to play by that rule that Steve Sarkisian laid down for them. And so if that's part of it, I would put that in there. They will have a full rollout. I've been told there's a full press conference planned for January the 13th, which will be a Wednesday to introduce. And everything you just said, Rod, to introduce the head coach, show him off, let him answer questions to the assembled media, and full bore. But obviously this was a tight window with a coach who still has a game to coach for a national championship in 10 days. I understand your cynicism on that. It's a fair question. I will just play the other side of that.
If they hadn't screwed up the eyes of Texas and I hadn't seen so much management and so much incompetence back there with the handling of this flirtation with the coaching search and not backing your coach and all that and saying – and basically also, let's not forget that you lied to recruits, CDC. You straight up lied to them. The reason that you supported Tom Herman through 2021, let's be honest now, you wanted those young men to sign. F them kids is what you thought. Let's be honest. And now you got your recruits. And by the way, you should allow them the chance to leave without penalty and go transfer somewhere else because you know you lied to them and that you did it for the recruiting class and don't act like you didn't. But we all agree it's a business and somebody should pay these kids. Because they paying these damn coaches and they ain't doing a good job.
I mean, I think you're speaking to the choir on that, but I do think that there's another side to it. But it doesn't mean you're wrong. It means that there's an argument for why it went down like it did, but it doesn't make it right, to your point. But I do think that's the timeline that Texas had to play under. And was it the right timeline? Could they have waited till January 13th without any repercussion? That becomes a fair argument. But in the end, Steve Sarkisian is the new head football coach at Texas. He will bring – and I'll say this to your one point that I can't disagree with at all, Rod, and I agree with everything you said. I just think that there's another side to how you have to play things. But at the same time, to the people that surround Texas, they needed a shot of massive adrenaline. And is Steve Sarkisian that? I mean, when someone's dying on the operating table, you give them the paddles and you give them a shot of adrenaline. Texas was flatlining under Tom Herman. They weren't winning. They lost three games. Big 12 just went 5-0 in bowl games. Iowa State beat Oregon today in the Fiesta Bowl, 34-17. Oklahoma spanked Florida, and they're coming back with Spencer Rattler again next year and maybe a better team. LSU just won a national championship. A&M's playing tonight in the Orange Bowl as a top-five team. Everybody that surrounds you is on the move, and I feel like the leadership of Texas understood they couldn't. It's like in a race when you just get getting further or further behind them. Everyone is separating, and Tom Herman was not going to help you catch up. To your point, Rod, is this the right guy to help you catch up? We'll all follow it. We'll all see as time goes. But they had to do something. Bringing back Tom Herman was not an option. But is Steve Sarkisian the right hire? Was it handled properly today? Will be something that will be debated on Monday and Tuesday and into the official press conference coming up a Wednesday of next week, the 13th of January. And obviously Chris Del Conte will have a lot to answer for. He's back from the visit with and getting this deal done. He is going to be available. I think we're going to have him on the B&E show later in the week, hopefully Monday or Tuesday, to talk about this decision and where they go and answer a lot of the questions you have, Rod, because for everybody who listens who disagrees what you're saying or, hey, get on board, be positive, there's a lot of people who believe exactly what you're saying and are asking that exact same line of questioning. Is this another retread? Is this another coach that was hired in a knee-jerk way? Was this done properly? Did we shoot for the moon, make our own bed, and now you got to lay in it because you fired another coach that's no better than the coach you had that comes in with baggage? Fair points across, and can't appreciate Rod Babers, a lifetime Longhorn who played 4 years at this university, and you hear every afternoon along with the triple option with Rod and Kevin, bringing it strong, and you hear me every morning with Bucky Godbolt. Rod, great stuff. Any parting thoughts as we wrap this thing up and let people get on with their weekends? We will pick it up on Monday with live and local coverage for 14 or 15 hours every single day. Hopefully talk to Chris Del Conte, hopefully hear more on the way this all went down, but some closing thoughts from you, my friend.
Much like in this country, right, you don't have to vote for the president, but we all going to root for the president to succeed because we need him to succeed because we're all vested. So I didn't necessarily think that Steve Sarkisian should be the hire, but I will support it. I think I will start looking at the positive aspects of the hire. I don't disagree with the hire. I thought Texas was trying to upgrade, and that was the impression I got. And so this is, in my opinion, not necessarily an upgrade, a guaranteed upgrade, but maybe it is. So I'll support him because I want Texas to succeed. But keep in mind, if he doesn't, you're Tennessee. You're Nebraska. You are light years. Then you are even further away, light years away from Clemson, Ohio State, from Bama. Because let's be honest, the have and the have-nots in college football starting to separate. Right, the gap is starting to widen between the have and the have-nots. The aristocracy continues to grow, and now even some of the old school blue bloods are getting left out because they just can't keep up. So what I'm saying is, if it's not the right hire, it's going to Oklahoma's going to win. I don't know, 10 more Big 12 titles. That's all I'm saying. You could fall further behind. So make sure it's the right guy. I hope he is.
You're right. Rally around the new president at Texas football. I will say, different than Nebraska or Tennessee is Texas. You are in the cradle of quarterbacks, and people are coming in here to invade and take players that are helping win national titles. And Tom Herman wasn't keeping them. Charlie Strong was unable to win with them or keep them on offense especially. We'll see if Steve Sarkisian is the right guy. Obviously, that's a new name to learn and get to know, and we'll get to know him here on your flagship station for Texas Athletics. Big win for Longhorn Hoops today. It's been an incredibly busy day. With that, the firing of Tom Herman, the hiring of Steve Sarkisian. Thank you so much to Rod Babers, impromptu, jumping at it and going live and local. Thank you to Snoop Daniel, who had a busy day on the high school side. Make sure you're checking out Flex ATX, our website that we power, flxatx.com, and all the socials for all the high school football news of today. Hayes with a big win over Vandegrift. Westlake wins again. Cedar Park going to play in the Final Four. Cover that as well. Snoop, thanks. Rod, thanks. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll talk tomorrow. Cowboys football at 11 o'clock.